Thank you very much, Sarah. It's a little bit about me. These slides are going to be published, so you don't need to read them. What I offer is strategy in digital preservation, how we can keep things for a very long time. This may impact on you. You may want to keep your image collections for a long time. One way of looking at preservation is it's sustained and continued access. There's two things which may interest you. It's keeping the actual files themselves, the TIFFs and the JPEGs, and there's keeping the metadata. So just to confine what I'm talking about, I'm going to try and concentrate on those two things. And I thought it might be handy to come up with a little production chain which you're probably going to recognize. And we've seen similar things already in today's presentations. There's creators creating images. What I'm going to propose to you is there's at least two digital objects that result from this. One of them would be the archive digital images, which you want to keep for a long time. And also, of course, the access copies, low-res JPEGs, which you want to serve to your customers, which can be managed by an online DAM. One of the things that's supplying metadata to that DAM is, of course, a collections manager or the photographer themselves producing that authoritative collection of library-compliant metadata. But, of course, there's embedded metadata as well. So let's zero in on that chain a little bit more. There's your basic JPEG. Of course, a photographer can add IPTC metadata you're familiar with. The camera, of course, can embed EXIF metadata. There's something else you may be slightly less familiar with, and it's what we in the digital preservation area call technical metadata. And what I'm referring to now is what is created by your average piece of image software every time it creates or manipulates an image. And it's very, very interesting to us from a preservation point of view, because as well as keeping metadata, we want to preserve behavior of digital objects. One way of doing that is by storing and managing and extracting this technical metadata. Now hold that thought, because I'm going to show you what some of that technical metadata looks like in due course. I just also want to differentiate embedded metadata from, of course, descriptive metadata, which is represented there by that purple diagram thing. Now, here's a very, very simplified view of digital preservation for you. I'm going to propose four interventions. We're very interested in this in preservation because we realise we have to act quickly. We're worried about technical obsolescence. We're worried that things are going to change quicker than we can keep up with. We have to intervene. As a traditional archivist, I always think we can leave it for 30 years, but with computers, we can't. One of the first interventions we do is store content and keep it safe. Now, this is not backing up. This is dedicated preservation storage. And as you can see, it's got a weird extra step called fixity. So let me just describe those two components to you. David has already alluded to something called the Open Archival Information System, which is now an ISO standard describing what digital preservation is like. It mandates and describes in tremendous detail what preservation long-term storage is like. And these are some of the features. You'd want a dedicated server. You'd have very little network traffic on it. And it's not just enough to back up stuff. And it's not just enough to keep it on HD drives. We want a tremendous amount of reporting and monitoring of the content to make sure the files we're storing there are not corrupting. And we want to have a very good backup system which stores tapes, drives, all around the country to make sure that everything can be restored. For your purposes, for preservation of digital images, this is probably a very good place to keep your master archival copies of your high-res TIFFs. The other feature of long-term storage is this fixity step, which is a little utility that is able to... where you generate a checksum for every single file you intend to store, and if you keep that as a piece of technical metadata, you can detect change, you can detect corruption, because if the checksum algorithm changes, that means that your file has changed as well. So with long-term storage, the person you sign up to, in terms of whether it's a cloud vendor or any kind of long-term preservation storage provider, you're going to want them to give you these checksum reports constantly to make sure that your precious assets are not being corrupted. So that's what we mean by regular validation of checksums is strongly recommended. So that's your basic long-term storage I'll get into something which may be more familiar to you now, your basic metadata management. But this is another strong aspect of digital preservation, and it's what I call a preservation database. And I really would like to see a dedicated database that does nothing but store metadata we need for preservation purposes. Let me tell you, memory institutions, national libraries, national archives all around the world have been doing this for a very long time. And they understand the importance not only of having the storage, but also of managing the metadata and protecting it to their utmost capability, shall we say. So it's a dedicated database, and they protect it, they back it up, they manage the XML that's within it. Here's one of the things we could do. We would use metadata extraction tools. So in your basic ingest procedure, when things come in for digital preservation, we pass them through a stage called metadata extraction. There's tools that can do this. EXIF tool can do it. Jove is another good one. The National Library of New Zealand has a metadata extraction tool. And as a matter of fact, there's a whole bundle of extraction tools all wrapped up together in something called the File Information Toolset. All of these things are open source, and they're very, very good at pulling out the metadata you want to keep permanently. So that's what I mean by that stage. It's a simplification, but what's happening is the metadata extraction tools are passing over your JPEG, pulling out some very good technical metadata. We are going to put it into our database long term. Now remember, I was going to explain about technical metadata. This is something which is very, very interesting. You're probably going to find it in most of your TIFFs, your JPEGs, and your GIFs. It's metadata about the digital image itself, and quite often, you're going to find it's embedded in the file header. Now, for preservation purposes, we really want to get hold of that metadata and preserve it along with everything else. As an archivist, to begin with, it's going to help us identify the file format with a tremendous degree of certainty. It's not enough just to look at the file format extension like .gif. We want to look in the header, and we want to find the name of a file format, and we want to find the MIME type and other things that identify it. But more to the point, there's these things. And this is technical metadata that impacts on the image as an image. It impacts on the image's ability to actually render. You know what I mean by rendition? In other words, if image software or an image reader is trying to open the JPEG, this is the information it needs in order to produce a picture in the first place. There's things like width and height and the color space and the resolution. All of these things are absolutely crucial to get a rendition from the image. If we want to keep that rendition long term, we will be doing our utmost to make sure that these important pieces of metadata are not lost. So yes, we do want to keep the IPTC metadata from being stripped out. Same with the EXIF metadata, but we also want to protect this technical metadata, which in computer science terms means that if it's lost, damaged, corrupt, missing, or stripped out, the image won't even play. You get me? So that I think that would be one message to take away from this talk. You know about EXIF metadata. Luckily, when I do this as a course, I have to explain this to archivists, but I don't have to explain it to you. But it's very, very important. And the same, of course, with the IPTC metadata. We've heard a lot about that this morning already. So if I'm doing preservation for your image libraries, this is what I would expect to see: a huge bundle of extracted metadata using my EXIF tool and other tools, which passes into the preservation database. And I'm now going to add a UID to make sure that that is strongly connected to the image file itself. I've now solved a tremendous number of problems. I'm feeling a lot happier. Yeah, the file itself is in long-term storage, and the metadata is in my beautiful dedicated preservation database. But there's a third intervention for digital preservation, and it's called migration. And this is yet another response to the problem of obsolescence. Sorry, everything's gone completely nuts now. Don't know what's happening here. The migration thing, it's all right. Forget it. Yeah. It's fine. Migration is where we would apply another piece of software which can change a file into another file. It's if we fear that the TIFF is not going to survive long term, we pin our hopes on yet another as yet unknown format which we think is going to survive even longer. We would pass the file through that conversion tool. But it's more than just a save as, it's a re-encoding of the image data. And although it's a good thing to do to prevent obsolescence, it introduces yet a further layer of risk. And you probably gathered what that extra layer of risk is. A, we could lose image data, but more to the point, we could lose image metadata. And this is a fact. Some of these conversion tools are known to strip out the IPTC metadata, the EXIF metadata, and indeed the technical metadata itself that we need for the rendition. Migration is a very good process, but it's also quite a risky one. And I know for a fact that early versions of the GIMP, for instance, that open source image rendering software, if you can't afford Adobe Photoshop, you go for the GIMP. I think they've solved that problem now, but it did used to strip out IPTC metadata. So there's your extra thing with migration. So if you do get into long-term preservation, you've got that migration risk. I think that's pretty much all I had to say about this. And we had some images at the end where this all gets joined together. But you get the idea. Like, digital preservation is an intervention which you do need to make if you really want your collections to survive long-term. It may be a little more work than you realized, and there are extra steps involved in protecting this very important metadata, not only to protect the image and its description and its rights and the copyrights, but also the ability of the image itself to replay. So that's all I have to say. I've got some handouts, and I did have some links on the slides, but these are going to be published on SlideShare very soon. We've got a free course you can go to on our Moodle to learn about the OIS system. We've also got a handout explaining how you can assess your own organization's ability to do digital preservation. And I even explain the simple digital preservation workflow as a single image, which hopefully my marketing manager will have available for you by the time these slides are up. So thanks once again for inviting me to Zagreb, Sarah, and thanks again, Michael.